Coronavirus vaccinations are steadily increasing in the United States. Almost 10% of the population has gotten at least one dose so far. But there's pressure to speed up vaccinations because new, more contagious variants are spreading. In South Africa, health officials stopped distributing the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine because it doesn't appear to work well against a variant of COVID-19 first discovered there. Let's look at what all this means with Dr. Tom Inglesby. He directs the Center for Health Security at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Dr. Inglesby, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So what can you tell us about this COVID-19 variant in South Africa and what studies show about how effective vaccines are against it?
The South African variant, or the variant that was first found in South Africa, we should say, we don't know if it started there, but in any event, that's where it was discovered, does look like it is both more transmissible and, at least for the AstraZeneca vaccine and for the J&J vaccine, looks like it may be less effective at preventing mild to moderate disease, which is concerning. And it shows us that variants are going to continue to be a problem in the world and we have to track them very closely and track them against our medicines and our vaccines very closely. But the good news, if there is any, or at least the less concerning news, is that for the J&J vaccine, it does look like it protected against severe disease and death for the South Africa strain. So that remains encouraging.
Yeah, that is good news. And that's one of the vaccines that appears to be on the horizon. The AstraZeneca vaccine has not yet been approved by the FDA for use in the U.S. And the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that you just mentioned is now going to be reviewed by the FDA for emergency use. And that could come this week. So if it does, what would that mean for the vaccination effort?
I think it would be a huge benefit to the vaccination effort in the United States and ultimately around the world. Johnson & Johnson says it can make on the order of 1 billion doses a year, and it's a single-use vaccine and doesn't require unusual freezers. So if we could bring this online as part of the U.S. vaccination effort, that'll be a huge addition.
A key difference, right? Because some of these earlier vaccines have required a lot of maintenance at very low temperatures to work. And maybe that's part of the reason why the rollout has been kind of rocky. We are up to now about 1.4 million shots being given in a day. Is that enough or do we need to ramp up even further, Dr. Inglesby?
Well, first of all, I think we should just acknowledge that this is the most complicated and most urgent and most rapid mass vaccination effort in U.S. history. So this is a huge enterprise, very, very daunting for the country to take this on. I think in the last couple of days, there have been 2.2 million doses given out per day around the country. That compares to mid-January, we were giving out 500,000, 600,000 doses a day. So it is moving in the right direction. I think more and more vaccination channels are coming online. Pharmacies are going to be coming online in about a week with their own vaccine supply. So I think we do need to get faster, and I think we will get faster. And Johnson & Johnson hopefully will help us do that.
Should the people who have been vaccinated continue to wear their masks and keep social distancing? And if so, I mean, do you think that that could actually deter some people from lining up to get vaccinated because they see maybe a little incentive to get the shot without that instant gratification of getting their lives back to normal?
So the answer is people should continue to wear masks, absolutely, and practice social distancing. And that's for a couple of reasons. First of all, the vaccines aren't perfect. They are very, very good vaccines as compared to other vaccines that we take. They're very effective so far. But still, there are some people who won't get perfect protection. It's also unclear yet whether people who are vaccinated and don't get sick can still carry the virus. So if we wear masks, we're less likely to transmit it to someone else who hasn't been vaccinated yet. So I think we should continue to see it as both helping ourselves prevent infection as well as our civic duty to try and prevent others from getting infected from us.
And presumably then when everyone or close to everyone is vaccinated, then perhaps we can get back to something closer to normal. But until then, as you say, think of yourself and others in the meantime. Last thing, Dr. Inglesby, I'm curious because we finally saw some encouraging statistics at the federal level. And granted, they are sometimes lower on Sundays, but there were about 87,000 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. And that was the first time since early November that we dipped under the 100,000 mark. So do you see that as kind of a one-off or do you see some encouragement there that the number of cases are going to keep declining?
It's definitely encouraging and more than a one-off. This has been going on now for many weeks. Cases have been steadily declining. Hospitalizations have been declining a little bit less quickly than case numbers, but still on the decline. we're hopeful that the numbers of people dying will also begin to go down. And I think people also, it's possible people are appropriately worried about the new variants that they're reading about and are trying to take, you know, physical distancing very seriously. And hopefully a combination of things are happening. They're helping us drive case numbers down around the country, and that trend continues.
Yeah, if people are concerned and redoubling their efforts to abide by those social distancing and hand washing and mask wearing protocols, that's probably a good thing. Dr. Tom Inglesby directs the Center for Health Security at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Dr. Inglesby, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.